Okay. So again, now we're going to move on to 2362 in regards to Lorna Landman. You and your attorney at present are welcome to come forward. State your names for the record, please.
I'm Lorna Landman.
Lisa Burko on behalf of Dr. Lorna Landman.
Okay, great. Great. Dr. Landman, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you. And Dr. Landman and your attorney, we'd now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Good afternoon. Thank you all for being here. I know it's been a long day so far. Dr. Landman has been practicing for a number of years, and she worked directly with Dr. Harris and Dr. Dordo, who are no longer with Pets Vet. They worked together for over 5 years. Because of Dr. Landman's wealth of knowledge and her skill sets, Dr. Harris and Dr. Dordo regularly transferred patients to Dr. Landman. The transfer protocol was always the same amongst the three doctors. They would verbally agree to the transfer, and the transferor doctor would provide the transferee doctor with the exam sheet, medical history, exams, etc. For example, that same day that Dr. Harris transferred back to Dr. Dordo, Dr. Harris also transferred a patient to Dr. Landman, and Dr. Landman executed an emergency surgery on the transferred patient successfully the following day. Dr. Dordo reached out to Dr. Landman about Mac's case 2 times in total. First, his tech, Jordan, who's with us here today, and also provided a statement, texted Dr. Landman an image of the radiograph and simply asked if there was bloat. Dr. Landman responded and said there was no bloat. The second interaction regarding Mac's case was that when Dr. Dordo got the CBC results, he provided Dr. Landman with Mac's CBC and asked for her thoughts. At that moment, Dr. Landman told Dr. Dordo to figure out where the white blood cells were going because they were low. As requested by a Pets Vet staff member, Dr. Landman took time between her scheduled surgeries to meet with Ms. McGuire, who was in the waiting room, and to discuss Mac's case. At the moment, Ms. McGuire provided Dr. Landman Mac's medical history, and Dr. Landman in that moment recommended the ACTH stem test. Dr. Landman at the same time did discuss the issue of the prednisone and its effect on the ACTH stem test. Ms. McGuire let Dr. Landman know that she wasn't able to pay for the ACTH test, and Dr. Landman offered to do it at no charge to Ms. McGuire. Ms. McGuire then authorized the ACTH test, and prior to the ACTH test being executed, Dr. Landman did notify one of the techs to notify Dr. Dordo that she recommended the ACTH test and the client authorized it to happen, along with the comment about the prednisone being in the in Mac's system. Following that, when Dr. Landman learned about Mac's passing, she reached out to Ms. McGuire to conduct an autopsy. Ms. McGuire did not hesitate, and she authorized Dr. Landman to conduct the autopsy, regardless of her statement on Facebook stating that the ER was able to figure out Mac's injury within 10 minutes. She still went through the autopsy with Dr. Landman. Mac's cremains and paw prints were ordered by Pets Vet, and the amount was refunded to Ms. McGuire. However, Ms. McGuire's review on the Pets Vet Facebook page included misinformation. Dr. Landman did not fail to care for Mac. She simply answered Dr. Dordo's questions about the case and engaged in conversation with Ms. McGuire to gather additional information and simply recommended the ACTH stem test. That was the scope of her involvement in this matter. When the cremains and paw prints were ready for pickup, Pets Vet contacted Ms. McGuire to pick them up, as she did. Dr. Landman in no way threatened to withhold the cremains. The discussion between Dr. Lehman and Ms. McGuire was regarding the Facebook post and the misinformation that was shared to the public. Dr. Lehman went out of her way to make sure that Ms. McGuire was taken care of, that Mac was taken care of, and that Ms. McGuire's financial concerns were also prioritized. As a responsible veterinarian for the premise liability, Dr. Lehman didn't violate her statutory requirements, ensure that records were maintained, equipment was adequate, and sanitation was maintained as well. In regards to Dr. Dordo's discussion here, and Dr. Harris's discussion with the board, I think it's important to clarify that the protocol is to always conduct two radiographs, unless authorized otherwise by the client. In most cases, it's the cost, yes, but unless that is authorized by the client, the proper protocol is to take two radiographs. And there have been instances where Dr. Lehman has recognized this and has addressed it with her staff that two radiographs have to always be taken. We've got witnesses here today present with Dr. Lehman and I who have provided statements and are willing and able to answer any questions that the board members may have. And her whole support team's here. So clearly it's done a lot of effect on her. Her work is very near and dear to her heart, and we're hoping that the board will recognize that her involvement here was not negligent. It was not in any way, you know, hurtful to Ms. McGuire, and she really tried her best to get to the root of the issue when things began to surface. So we hope that the board will take this into consideration and no more than a letter of concern would be addressed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I would now like to ask if any board members have any questions. Dr. Lehman.
Yes, hello. A question that came up from talking to Dr. Harris, I have another question about the muscle testing food aversion allergy thing. That was a hospital protocol. Was that your protocol that you put in place and they followed it? Well, where did that come from? I'll just explain.
Well, all three of us have been to the Qi Institute, and the kinesiology has been practiced by the Chinese for thousands of years, and chiropractors, all it's common practice for all chiropractors to do this.
Okay.
And that's where I learned it.
And they did too?
And they learned it.
Yes. Oh, okay. So regarding your initial involvement in this case, in other words, the text message you received on the morning of 11/30/22, and you were home at the time.
Yes.
What exactly do you recall the message saying?
It came in from Jordan, the technician, and said, Dr. Dordo wants to know if this is blow. And I responded back, no, it doesn't appear to be bloat. And that there's still barium in the stomach. I can see that.
So there was nothing other than a comment about a possible GDV
right.
At that point. Is this bloat? That was the extent of it. Did you question or ask why barium was given to a possible GDV?
No, I just got this text, you know, picture, which, you know, is not the greatest in the world, but you can see it didn't have a smirk pad on it. And then
In the text, were you asked to consult on the case? So you're saying it just was, is this blown? Period.
Okay.
We have some information that says Dr. Dordo even had me text pictures, plural, of radiographs, plural, to Dr. Lehman. On Wednesday morning at 9:25, but there was just one?
Just one.
Okay. In the investigative committee interview, you said that associates are always coming to you asking questions. Do you consider yourself a consultant on that case, or just answer the questions and try to direct them, or how does that process work?
Exactly that. They come and ask me questions, so I'm clearly just a consultant to help help guide them if they have any, anything to ask.
Okay. So you answered the question, basically your text was no. Your text back to them.
Exactly.
No, it's not both.
Exactly, no.
No other questions about the case. You didn't ask any questions at that point. How did you read the radiograph?
How did I read it?
Mm-hmm. What device?
But on my cell phone.
Your cell phone, not on your laptop.
No, purely on cell phone.
Okay. And so when you arrived at the hospital, did you review the radiograph on a larger screen and look at the other radiographs or lab work or anything?
No, as soon as I walked in the door, the head surgical tech started asking me, you know, we've got an emergency surgery and how do we want to proceed with doing all these surgeries, because we now have 8 surgeries to do. Okay. One of them's an emergency perineal hernia.
So when you met with the complainant on 11:30, you had time to go out and talk to her. Did you introduce yourself to her?
When I walked up front to get a record for one of the surgeries, Lola said to me, "Can you please go talk to this lady up here? She's been waiting for a long time." And I said, "Well, I don't really know anything about this case, you know." And she said, "Well, please go talk to her, and because she's wanting to know something, some answers." And I again said, "Well, I've got 8 surgeries to do. I really don't have time." So I said, "Okay, all right. I'll just go." So I asked her some history about her dog, and that was the main, you know, I just didn't really have time to be doing that.
Provide any direction to Dr. Dordo that, hey, you got a client out here. Dr. Dordo has told us he didn't even know she was there. So you were busy,
well,
didn't have much time. Why didn't you just go, hey, somebody get Dr. Dordo and tell him this client's waiting, let's move along?
Well, that would have been an option to do too, but Lola told me she had asked him to come talk to her, and no, she was just sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting.
So he either refused to or didn't hear or something.
Okay.
So when you spoke to the owner about viewing the radiograph that morning, you did have a conversation about that, and you said the barium had moved into the intestines. So would I be correct in assuming that you looked at more than just the stomach that morning?
Well, you could see that there was barium in the stomach, but you could also see there was barium in the small intestine.
Okay, so you were looking at the intestines,
yeah.
Also. At this point, what did you know about the case from any source?
I knew nothing about the source. I knew nothing about the case, you know, other than the fact that x-ray had been sent to me.
X-ray. What about conversations with the owner? What information did you get from the owner?
What I got from the owner was, when I went up there to talk to her, was that the dog was a 2-year-old poodle. Somebody had said it was a doodle. And she said, "No, it's a full-blooded poodle." And I said, "Well, it looked like it was pretty thin," and she said something about it only weighs 37 pounds. For a full-blooded poodle, what should weigh 60 pounds, that was considerably light. And that's when I said, "Did anyone ever talk to you about Addison's and disease?" And because I asked her, first asked her, "How did this all begin?" And she said, "It started with diarrhea." And I said, "Not vomiting?" And she said, "No, it started with diarrhea." And I said, "Well, then, did anyone talk to you about Addison's? Because this is very, you know, we had like 4 poodles with, you know, the Edisonian poodles right now.
Did the owner describe anything about Mac's condition as having a waxing or waning course?
No.
Polyuria, polydipsia?
No, I just asked her about the history.
Just the diarrhea. So it was basically poodle diarrhea. That's the information that you were going on, okay. So you didn't review the lab work, the electrolytes, prior to recommending the ACTH down? You didn't look at the electrolytes?
No, I just asked her if anyone had talked to her about Addison disease. She said no, and I said, well, that's a possibility, since this breed is very overrepresented in this, having this disease. And maybe we should consider doing that test. And that's when she said, I don't have the money to do it.
So, did you know that lab work had been done?
No.
You didn't know what? So you mentioned that the foundation was going to help with the cost of the test. Not really getting into the foundation, I don't know that that's really germane to this case. But then I was confused because then there was something about a donation and then also a no cost. So I got confused because we have an owner trying to decide what to do and now have a test recommended and some concerns about ability to pay. So how did that all happen? Was it the donation? Was it your foundation? What happened?
Well, we set up a foundation to help clients who couldn't afford veterinary treatment. And that's what I offered. I said that usually people will apply to the foundation for assistance. And I said, we could probably get the foundation to help you out.
Okay. So it wasn't a no cost, it was a,
right.
We can find this funds for this.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you consult Dr. Dordo? You would have considered him the primary doctor at this point of this case. He was primary doctor. But you didn't talk to him about doing the ACT step. You just asked, has anybody talked to you? But you didn't find out from a tech or go talk to Dr. Dordo and say, here's an idea I have, what do you think? As the primary doctor.
That's exactly what I did. I talked to the technician who's in charge of the hospitalized area that day. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I said, talk to Dr. Dordo about, you know, doing an ACTH stem test and see what he thinks about doing that because this dog is a poodle.
So that you did that before you ordered the test?
Yeah.
You knew that Dr. Dordo, you thought Dr. Dordo was exactly involved in, we're going to do this test.
Yes. As far as I know, he was the doctor in charge of this dog that day.
So directly or indirectly, you discussed it with him and collectively made the decision to do the test. Is that what I'm hearing?
I just talked to the technician and ask her to talk to Dr. Dordo about doing this ACTH stem test. And then I went back to doing all the surgeries.
Your narrative stated that you told someone to tell Dr. Dordo that you were ordering the ACTH stem. That's what your narrative.
Well, I don't recall that I told them to order, but I said, you know, since Dr. Dordo is the doctor on this case, because I had no idea that Dr. Harris at that time was even involved with it.
So did you order the test or did Dr. Dordo order the test?
Well, I talked to the technician and asked her to talk to Dr. Dordo, and she said she did, and she had Dr. Dordo figure out the dosage. And then he helped her get the blood.
Mm-hmm. So it's not a case where one doctor ordered a test on a patient without discussing it with the primary doctor. It was discussed with the primary doctor, and the two of you collectively decided to do this ACTH stem, because that's a little contrary to the information that we've had up till this point.
Well, I talked to the owner, and she agreed to go ahead and do this test. So I talked to the technician then and said, you know, talk to Dr. Dordo about doing this test. Now, how it was worded, you know, I'm not certain on that. It's been too long, but
the information that we have is that Dr. Dordo didn't have anything to do with the decision to do it. So that's why the questions. We have conflicting testimony, if you will.
He helped get the blood.
Well, it was ordered at that time by you. It's his testimony. Excuse me.
Well, that was probably, excuse me, it was probably, I don't know how the technician worded it to him.
Okay. So he could have said, no, I'm not going to go that direction.
Yeah, he could have.
So when you told Dr. Dordo he needed to find out where the neutrophils were going, did you have a differential or an explanation of that for that abnormality? He's consulting with you, asking your opinion on that. Did you have a differential for that abnormality?
It's my recollection that he handed me the CBC, mm-hmm. and the whole differential was there. And I said, well, there's, you know, no white blood cells and no neutrophils.
Neutrophils. Mm-hmm.
You need to find out where they're going, because they're obviously not in the bloodstream.
Okay. And so you knew a little bit about the case, not much, but a little bit, poodle, diarrhea, and now a neutrophil count that is very, very low at this point. So I was just asking if that information at that point made you have a differential for the abnormality of the neutrophils.
Well, I personally was not involved to think about this case because I had all these surgeries and this emergency surgery right in front of me. And I needed to get that done.
Okay.
And thank you. And the, so this being his case, as far as I knew, this was totally his case. I had no idea that Dr. Harris had even started any other x-rays. So as far as I knew, this was his case, and I was just trying to help him with the questions that he was asking me.
Okay. So after you and Dr. Dordo discussed the results of the test, the ACTH stem on 12-1, did you then have a plan for the next step to discuss with him?
Well, what my comment to him was, and not knowing that this dog had gone home or what had happened with this dog all day, because I was totally in that surgery room and was way behind then on appointments, and was there until probably 9, 10, 11 o'clock just doing appointments. So I had no idea what had happened with that dog during the day. It was not on my radar screen. And then when he came to me the next day with these results, I said, well, obviously it's not Addison's disease, but we know it's not Cushing's, so it's gotta be an extreme stress reaction here. And I said, you're going to have to find out what's going on.
So at that point in time, you didn't go look at labs and x-rays?
No.
That type of thing. Was there any discussion between you and Dr. Dordo regarding you assuming responsibility for this case?
No, Dr. Harris had talked to me the day before about transferring that case to me, and
That's a different case?
That was the emergency hernia.
Okay.
Hernia. She had talked to me and sent me an x-ray of that case, and showed me that the bladder was involved in this, and needed to go to surgery right away. So she talked to me about that. Mm-hmm. So that's the way, I mean, we've been transferring cases back and forth for years. And you always talk to each other and discuss what's done, what needs to be done, blood work, x-rays, whatever. And there was no discussion about any transfer of Mac. If there had been, I would have taken over the case.
So why did you take the hard copy of the test result from Dr. Dordo and walk away?
I don't recall that.
I
don't recall me doing that because I was probably, I know it was back in the back that he showed me the results, but I was probably going from either another surgery to another surgery or going from room to room. I don't recall what was happening, but I know that I didn't have time to discuss that case other than giving my opinion and that it was not Addison's and it was probably a very stressed reaction.
So there were two different instances when you went back and looked at the lab machine and looked at the blood work versus the ACTH stem, which was on a hard copy.
I think the CBC was on a hard copy.
There was a hard copy of that. So you remember
when he showed that to me.
Showed it
to
you.
That was a hard copy.
You remember looking at it, but you don't remember taking it.
No, I did not take it. I don't know why I would take it. I was, you know, my caseload is way higher than his.
Understood.
So I was trying to deal with the cases I have.
Okay. So after you performed the necropsy, after the euthanasia, and you requested Mac to do the necropsy, and you discovered the intestinal rupture, you state that you looked at the radiographs at that point for the first time, other than the one you saw in the morning on your phone.
That's correct. That's the first time I looked at any of those previous x-rays.
And the barium that appeared to be outside of the intestines, but the mass of intestines made it obscure. Can you clarify?
Well, the intestines were so adhesed together that I can kind of see that, but you could see that there was barium, but you couldn't see where it was, but there was barium ventral to those intestines.
And barium without a lumen, intestinal lumen.
Right.
Okay.
And I think that's why.
But, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
With all the adhesions, that's all that barium was leaking into those adhesions.
So, did you see the adhesions on the radiograph?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So you maintain that there. And then the 11:30-22 radiograph, you reviewed that also? Following day, follow up. The one with that we're talking about with the barium, obscure maybe, but at least you recognized it as being free barium. It was another radiograph taken the next day. So you reviewed that one.
You really couldn't see that on that x-ray.
Yeah, I would agree it was more obscure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In comparison, I guess was my question, where did it go?
Yeah.
In regards to the texts between you and the complainant, have you reviewed those texts from the time? How did you find out that Mac had been sick for 2 weeks before the complainant took him in to a veterinarian and that the complainant had refused to have diagnostics or treatments done? How did you find out that history? Where did that come from?
Oh, I'm not sure where I know that from. I'm not on Facebook, and I did not see any of those Facebook postings, except when friends and clients took screenshots and sent them to me. But I think that may have been, but I think that might have been in the history that one of our techs told me that she'd been to another veterinarian.
And so someone had.
She told me the dog had been sick for 2 weeks.
Yeah. But she didn't say she refused to have diagnostics at the other clinic. She told you that too?
No.
Okay. So you found that out somewhere else?
Somewhere else, I'm not sure where.
So in those texts, what did you mean that there was plenty of blame to go around?
Well, 9:30 at night, I get these texts. I was totally sound asleep from an exhausting day. So I was very, very upset about her texting me. And she first started out by saying, when am I going to get my dog remains back, I think. And I said, I saw your Facebook. And she goes, does that mean that you're not going to give my remains back? And I said, all I said was, I saw your Facebook. I'm the one who offered. I offered her the complimentary or no charge autopsy and to have her dog cremated, and offered her two paw prints that we would pay for because she had two children. And those, I offered all this stuff. I was very, very upset that this dog passed away. But I do think that all this, I was trying to be very nice to her and trying to accommodate her with offering to do the cremation. So I never, ever said I was not going to give her the cremains. And we already had sent them in, and they were coming back that Friday or that Tuesday or whatever day they come back. So I never stopped that. And she was called right away, soon as those cremains made it back to our place.
Okay, yeah, and I did see that information, and that's exactly the way you described it. But I asked specifically, what did you mean there was plenty of blame to go around? That specific line in the text. There's plenty of blame to go around.
Can you read the text? Can I show her the text?
Sure.
So she can read it? It's a long one.
Well, I said to her, as you, I'm sure, have read it, I think you should tell the truth and accept blame for letting your dog be sick for so long and the intestine rupture before we even saw your poor dog. We put all the blame, you put all the blame on us, and there was a lot of blame to go around.
Right. So, from the text, you're placing some of the blame for his demise on the owner, but plenty of blame to go around means to me there was somebody else that was blamed.
Well, I had a veterinarian working with us one time who claimed abuse because they didn't take care of their dog. So
abuse.
I'm not saying.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. You said
yes, abuse.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that there's a lot of circumstances on why people don't have their dog taken care of, or you know, that this is a long time to let the dog lay there.
No, I understand that, but plenty of blame to go around implies there's other people to blame.
Yes, I think there's a lot of blame to go around.
Meaning that your facility and your associates.
Well, I think Dr. Harris probably had never seen a barium outside of intestines before, and didn't pick up on that day. And, yeah.
Okay, so there's an example.
Yeah.
Additional blind, okay.
If I would have known that, if I would, if someone would have transferred that dog to me, I would have taken care of it. I don't care if it had been midnight, I would have been there to take care of the dog.
What was the truth that you wanted the complainant to tell? The truth, what was the truth? I was confused. What was the truth you wanted her to tell?
Well, she even mentioned it, I believe. She mm-hmm. said, yeah, I did leave, let my dog.
So they, she did tell the truth.
But she didn't. She did then later.
In the text conversations yeah. and the Facebook posts that she had taken to another veterinarian.
Yeah.
And is that the truth you wanted her to tell again? She'd already posted it on Facebook that she'd been to another vet.
No, she, I don't think she had said in any of her Facebook postings before that she had let her dog go for 2 weeks without seeing a veterinarian.
Okay. So why did it matter what happened with Mac prior to it arriving at your facility regarding you, your staff, and the, your handling of the case? Why did it matter what happened in the past? To assign blame? I don't think that...
Well, this dog weighed 37 pounds.
I agree.
That's a long time.
It was a sick dog.
That's a very sick dog.
It was a very sick dog. But my question is, why did it matter what had happened prior to him arriving at your facility? Well, in terms of dealing with the case, I mean, in the overall picture, I can see where you would make that. But what?
Well, I don't know that it mattered, other than the fact that she was refusing service at somewhere else because of cost, and then she asked for a low cost.
And so,
clinic on the Facebook, as far as what I was told.
What did that matter to your facility? What had happened prior to that? I mean, history of the patient, yes, but what did it matter now you're faced with this case? Did it matter?
Not necessarily.
It would be the same as if you didn't have a history, right?
Yep, we didn't.
To be clear, you wanted the complainant to accept at least partial blame for Mac's perforated intestine, and then it was confused. Pay the amount of the bill to your foundation?
No, I never ever said that. I said she could do, she's on Facebook a lot, according to people who were watching the Facebook page. And I said, you could do some positive things, you know, and help other people whose dogs they can't afford, by helping any of these foundations raise money for veterinary care for animals. That's what I was trying to relay to her, is that you could turn this into a positive thing that you couldn't afford with your dog, but you could help other people.
So asking for a donation, basically.
No, I wasn't asking for a donation. I said you could get on Facebook and do something positive and raise money for not just our, I said any foundation, you know, to help other people who can't afford veterinary care. Because there's a lot of foundations out there that need donations. I wasn't asking her to donate. I was asking her to be a facilitator of people to donate.
Okay.
Which is, that, you know, a lot of people
that
do
explains.
That. A lot of people get on Facebook and get, you know, GoFundMe accounts. And
it just came in this texting back and forth about blame, same time. So it got a little confusing about what you were asking her to do.
I was not asking her to donate.
Okay.
I was not asking her to pay anything back.
Okay.
In fact, we did Gave her all of her money back.
Gave her all her money back. You and I have been practicing a long time. Just asking your opinion. If the knee necropsy that you did and found the perforation, if the, what do you think about Mac if you had taken him to surgery at that point? What do you think the odds were?
I've talked to a lot of critical care specialists, and one of them I think probably had the best diagnosis and said that dog probably, she said I would bet thoroughly on this dog probably had lymphoma, and that dog perforated before it even came in to see you. And I don't know, you know, because we didn't send, I feel bad that we didn't send in tissue. And may have gotten that diagnosis. And that would certainly give us the reason for why this dog weighed 37 pounds. You know, because this dog...
Would you agree that another possible explanation is several days of peritonitis?
Well, it was peritonitis when it came in that Tuesday.
Well, yeah, we don't know when it ruptured. You're right.
We don't know when it ruptured, right. But it obviously was ruptured on that Tuesday. So, yes.
Okay.
It could have had peritonitis before. Because what she testified is
we don't, the dog was weak. At the emergency clinic that the owner elected to euthanize, so we don't know anything surgically. My question was just in regards to what your personal thought was. Had the perforation been determined, 2-3 days earlier, did he have a chance?
I anguish over all these animals that we have to euthanize. And it's tough. In as many years, like you say, you and I have been doing this, that we see these animals that have to suffer. And I feel really bad that you know, this probably should have been recognized then, and maybe at the other veterinarian, who knows?
Yeah.
But
sure.
this poor dog did have, even though it's on pain medicine and whatever. But,
yeah, it's hard to think about that, yeah. So, you consider yourself a consultant in this case, and then just describe for me, how does a consultant usually handle a case? Say you're consulting with a specialist in some modality, cardiology or whatever. What does a consultant usually do? I'm asking specifically about gathering all the available information before making a recommendation of any kind. Would that be accurate in your experience?
Well, I'm assuming, and you know what that means, I'm assuming that the veterinarian in charge has done the exams, done the blood work, done the x-rays, and is then coming to me to get more opinion or more information.
More information.
And see, you know, because I've probably seen this before. And so I never ever considered myself, like I said, as having received this dog as my patient.
As your patient. But you refer to yourself as a consultant in the case.
That's what I try to be, a mentor to these other veterinarians that are working with us, yes.
So it wasn't really being a consultant, it was I answer questions.
Yes. And they come to me asking my opinion.
All right. Thank you. I apologize for the length.
Okay. Do any other board members have any questions? Okay.
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. At the time, Dr. Harris and Dr. Dorto were employed at your practice, were there any other veterinarians employed at that same time, or were they the only two?
Dr. Kim Bobian was just beginning.
Okay.
and she was there doing surgery.
Why were Dr. Harris and Dr. Dorto both unaware of what you have testified was your protocol to take two views?
Well, they've been told many times, and the board even told Dr. Dorto once to take two view x-rays. So I take two view x-rays all the time. And that I can't oversee what they're doing all the time, but I certainly can, make it well known that they need to be doing two view x-rays. But if someone doesn't have the money, and we're not in Scottsdale, we are in a very limited income area. So many times we are challenged with, can those people pay for 8 x-rays, or can they pay for 4?
Okay, but as the responsible veterinarian for the practice, it's your responsibility. You're their supervisor, in essence, and you set the protocols because you are the responsible vet of record.
When I owned the practice, I definitely knew that I was the responsible veterinarian. But if you look at after I sold it, then they asked me to be the responsible veterinarian. So under the definition, it says responsible veterinarian holds the premise license. This person is responsible for maintaining the records of the veterinary practice, ensuring the equipment is adequate, and the sanitation maintained and for all premises personnel.
I'll read to you from the statute definition. Responsible veterinarian means the veterinarian who is responsible to the board for compliance by licensed veterinary premises with the laws and rules of the state. It's not just the two things you mentioned. And of the federal government pertaining to the practice of veterinary medicine and responsible for the establishment of policy at such premises. So I'm hearing that although you are the responsible veterinarian of record, regardless of ownership. This is not an ownership question. This is a responsible veterinarian question. Were you setting policies, protocols, and supervising both the veterinarians and the technicians in your clinic?
Well, I've always done that.
So that's a yes.
Yes, I'm the responsible veterinarian, I have a caseload. I am not paid to be just a responsible veterinarian. I have a caseload that's 4 times each one of theirs.
Right, but you're responsible to this board as the responsible veterinarian of the premise.
And I set the protocols and the policies that we have continued on even after we sold it. But some of those things do change because they have their own protocols. But
that doesn't supersede your veterinary judgment.
How can the board expect me to oversee every patient that these veterinarians see?
That is not what I said, ma'am.
Is that what we're supposed to do?
Dr. Lammon, you're misinterpreting it. You're responsible for the running of the premises, not the technicians, not the individual veterinarians. And for setting protocols, which didn't seem to be widely known, let's just say, between Dr. Harris and Dr. Dorto as to your two view protocols.
Okay.
Also, it was up to...
I just want to jump in real quick. Let's make sure we're asking questions during this
phase. Yes, I'm going on to the next section. I was just responding. Okay. You mentioned that you're not on Facebook, correct?
Correct.
Okay, then how did you see all these Facebook posts?
As I stated earlier, a lot of our clients sent me snapshots.
They emailed you those snapshots? How did they send you the snapshots?
Usually text.
Okay. And the foundation, is it your foundation? Is it Vet Pets Foundation? Is it a 501c3?
It's a 501c3.
And who is the director of the foundation?
She's here, right here, Pat Sherman.
And is Pat a
pet vet, a vet, a vet pets employee?
No.
Is, yeah, sorry.
No.
No. No. So the foundation is something totally separate from vet pets?
Yes.
Do we have any other questions?
And it's not your, you have nothing to do with the foundation. You're not on the board of directors?
Correct.
Okay.
They can't be on the board of directors.
Okay.
I'm done.
Any other questions from board members? Okay. Thank you. You may both step back. Ms. McGuire, I want to give you the opportunity again to come forward. Okay, go ahead. You can speak to what Dr. Landman stated or anything else you'd like to share. Person speaking at a time, please, for our court reporter. Go ahead.
Okay, so the second day that I had brought Mac in for his second x-ray, after he had gone back, Dr. Landon came out and talked to me. I didn't even know who she was. She didn't introduce herself to me. She told me, I've looked at the x-rays and they're clear. She goes, there's a little bit of barium left, but there's clear, there's no obstruction. And I said, oh, that sounds like good news. She said, I think the next course of treatment we should do is to test him for Addison's disease, that poodles are so prevalent to have Addison's disease. I said, okay, we're still waiting on the valley fever, which I had been talking to one of the women that are sitting over here. She said that her animal had valley fever and he had the same symptoms. So I thought, should we wait until that comes back? And she said, no, I really think that the Addison's disease is going to tell us, test is going to tell us what we need to know. And I said, okay, I just feel like if this doesn't tell us anything, I just spent money that I could have put towards getting him the treatment that he needs. If you're not sure, can we get some kind of clarification on what he needs? And she said, I really think that this is what we need to do for the next step. I said, okay. She didn't mention anything about her foundation covering anything for me. When I came to pick him up that night, the receptionist had told me that somebody had donated money to my bill. And I was very grateful for that. After I had taken him home that night, you know, I heard from Dr. Dordo when he called. And he told me that he was going to consult with Dr. Landman again because he was a medical mystery and he had no idea what was going on with him still. So I waited the rest of the day, didn't hear anything back. I called and the receptionist told me, if they haven't called you yet, they will, just wait. And I told her, my dog is getting worse. He is now not getting up at all and he's peeing on himself. Then, you know, the next day he had died. I had texted their emergency line in the morning because the phone didn't, nobody answered when I called. So it said to text the emergency line. I text the line, didn't get anything. So that's when I said, I'm taking him to the emergency vet. I took him there and then they did their thing and we had euthanized him. I had paid them for their cremation package and their little commemorative plaque or whatever. Okay. By like noon, I got a call from the receptionist saying, we got your text from this morning, what's up? And I said, oh yeah, my dog actually died. I don't think you guys got him the timely care that he needed. And I ended up having to put him down because he was septic. And she said, oh, well let me give you Dr. Landman. So Dr. Landman got on the phone with me and she, you know, blamed everyone from their phone system to me waiting too long, everything but the care that he received. And she just kind of sat there and she said, or I asked her, well, do you think it would be fair if I could get some kind of compensation for the bill that I have paid to you? And now I have this other emergency bill that I have to pay too. And she said, well, you got a donation. And I said, yes, I did, but I also paid you over $800 for the first day. And nothing that he had even gotten during that first day really contributed to his care because he continued to decline. And she said, all right, yeah, I can give you your refund. And I said, thank you. She said, can you bring him his body back for the necropsy and I will cremate him here. And I said, okay, it was more peace of mind and I wanted her to know what her mistake was. She then offered me a Labradoodle puppy. And I told her that, you know, my family's not really interested in that right now, we're grieving. But that was that first text that I had sent her. I was responding to her, she was asking about if I wanted that puppy. And I had texted her saying that, you know, we're not really interested in Labradoodle, thank you. But it had been days since I had talked to her and my refund hadn't come through. And that's why I asked her about my refund. She says that I waited so long to get my dog care. In my Facebook post, it was about Thanksgiving when I had asked for the recommendation for another vet. Like I had explained to her, he had stomach problems already. So when he had diarrhea, it wasn't a huge concern because he always had, if he ate chicken, it would make him have diarrhea. If he ate one of our other dog's food, he would have diarrhea and he would get over it. So when I noticed that, okay, this has been a little too long and now he's vomiting, that's when I got him his care. I didn't sit there and say, oh, he's sick, I'm just gonna let him sit there and be sick. That's ridiculous. And all of the women back here nodding their head that I didn't take my dog's care seriously, that hurts me because I took him when I felt that he needed care. And I took him to her to get the care and he didn't get it. And that hurts me more. And then for her to say, oh, the blame can be put all around. How are you gonna tell your client that it's your fault? Especially when they're grieving. And for her to sit here and keep saying that, it's this doctor's fault. It's not my fault because I didn't take care of him. I was never his doctor. It's just ridiculous to me. So I needed to tell you guys that. And then once I came to pick up his ashes, and I still hadn't gotten my refund, they all looked at me and said, can we give you 20%? And I said, I have my text from Dr. Lamb and she was gonna offer me 100%. So she didn't even communicate with them that I was coming to pick up the ashes or what was going on. It's just an awful experience and I hope nobody else has to go through this.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Ms. Pavoir?
I did, but you just answered.
Okay. You may step back.
Thank you.
Thank you.